This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the result, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app and you'll get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus rewards registration required. Points only on menu items, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Mary redeemed a $50,000 cash prize playing Chumba Casino this year.
I was only playing for fun, so winning this was a dream come true.
Chumba Casino is America's number one social casino experience. It's serious fun. With over 80 casino-style games to choose from, you too could win life-changing amounts of cash. Be like Mary. Log on to ChumbaCasino.com and give them a whirl. That's ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void or prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details. The voice in the preceding commercial was not the actual voice of a winner.
Welcome to another edition of the Spurs Chat Podcast. Who says Spurs don't win trophies? We have got one in the bag already under Antonio Conte. Rangers 1, Tottenham Hotspur 2, and Spurs are the winners of the Walter Toll Memorial Cup. I've got three very special guests to talk about today's game. Of course, Tottenham Hotspur have now played three pre-season friendlies, one draw and two wins. Let's introduce the very special guest. We've got Richard Whitehead, MBE, back with us. Richard, how are you?
How's it going? Yeah, really good today. Great result. Great to talk about another win. Very positive. So looking forward to the chat tonight.
Well, lovely to have you back. We've also got Ricky Champagne Norwood back with us. Actor, of course. Ricky, how are you doing?
I'm very well, my friend. Buzzing. We've got the first trophy in the bag. First of many. Let's have it.
And we've got Craig back with us. Craig, it's been a good while since you've been with us, so lovely to have you back. How are you?
Yeah, I'm all good. Just been a very busy summer so far, but great to be back. And on the show when we've won a trophy, what more can you ask for?
Well, Rich, you're used to winning trophies and medals throughout your career. Tottenham Hotspur have won a trophy today. Happy with today's performance and result?
Not happy with the trophy. It looked like an egg cup, didn't it? I tell you what, the funny thing was, when Hugo was accepting it, it was like...
it's a bit different to the World Cup trophy, isn't it?
No, pass it on. But it's great for confidence, isn't it, to go into that game. It's obviously more of a competitive game. And then to come back from a goal behind in the way we did. It's all about levels, I think. And you could tell today that with the seriousness of the games kind of starting to ramp up, Antonio Conte is wanting a certain kind of intensity. And that was shown, obviously, in the game. So it was really good to see that and, yeah, really positive for the coming weeks.
Ricky, you must be happy with a trophy. I know, all joking aside, of course, we want the big trophies during the season. But as Rich said there, for confidence, it's been a good pre-season so far. What did you make of today's game?
I thought it was a great kind of test, you know, mental and physical. It was a great test. You know, Rangers came out to counter-attack and to kick us up in the air. And they'd done that. And I felt, though, even though there was a bit of aggression to the game, I felt it was a great test for those boys out there to kind of see what they've got. See what they've got in this new era under Conte, to see what they're about. And I know you're probably going to go into the lineups and stuff, but for me, I thought it was a great kind of psychological game that Conte was playing. It was mostly the 2021, last season's side that started. And it's almost like, look, you've got the shirt, you've got us here. It's up to you to kind of hold on to it. Do you know what I mean? Because we've got six players on the bench that are ready to come off and take your shirt off of you. So what you got, you know? And so it was nice to see a couple of patterns of play, especially early on. I thought, felt that we kind of, you know, apart from their goal, which was a counter-attacking goal, I felt we kind of dominated it in the first half, especially. Second half, it got a bit more bitty where the subs were coming on and stuff like that. But overall, I thought it was a really good test for us. And with a trophy at the end of it, even though it's a friendly trophy, I think it was a good kind of test for the mental attitude that we're taking in to the games we're about to play this season.
Do you know what? Friendlies just don't seem like friendlies anymore to me, because they seem like really competitive games. And today was definitely one of those games. Craig, how did you see today's game? Were you impressed with what you saw?
Yeah, I was. I thought we started really strong, actually. It was zipping the ball around in the first 5 to 10 minutes. And it was really quite impressive what I was seeing. And it kind of dropped off a bit towards, you know, the end of the first half. But second half, we just got the job done. But to be honest, I don't read much into results. It's just getting minutes in the legs of the players, and at this point, and patterns of play, like Ricky said, you know, working on things they've worked on in the training ground. And to be honest, Kane was his first touch in the first half. He lost the ball 4 or 5 times, didn't he? Still working. I played a few nice passes, but his first touch wasn't what we know it can be and should be. So obviously there's work to be done there, but you know they've had our pre-season, all of them. But the one that impressed me the most in the first 10-15 minutes was Kulusevski. I thought he was outstanding in the first 5-10 minutes. You know, but as I say, it's not so much about the results; it's about the performances, getting minutes in the legs at this point. And things are looking good.
Rich, let's come to you. Now, Rangers are a very good team, because Antonio Conte said after the game, Rangers are a really good team. 2 seasons ago, they won the Scottish League, and last season they reached the final of the Europa League. When you reach the final in this competition, it means that you are a really good team and have a really good coach. This was a real good test for Spurs today, wasn't it?
Yeah, it's a good test. They're not a great team, though, are they, really? Not a great team. I think it was a good test in certain departments. I also think some of the behaviours that we had last year in that run of games towards the end of the... Was he jumping in the hot tub? Is that where he's gone? Is he in the hot tub?
It's getting the drink, man.
It all happens on this show.
It does, yeah. I've got Gary in the hot tub. He's going to pop out naked in a minute.
Gary's not with Chris. Oh, dear. Yeah, no. So the behaviours from the last couple of games in the league were obviously followed on in this game. One of the things that I was looking for today was some of those habits, you know, like the Sessegnon habits, where he wasn't kind of really getting that ball in as early as possible. I thought Royale started actually quite well. He had some opportunities to shoot, which he didn't take. I think generally he started really well, and That cutting inside that obviously Conte wants those fullbacks to do, he clearly wants them to do that, because obviously Moura went into that position and then he was cutting inside as well. So for me, today was all about just setting the scene for the season. I don't think the starting lineup today will be the one that starts in the first game of the season. I think there might be a couple of changes there. Conte's probably got 5 or 6 kind of shoo-ins, and then other players that are kind of competing for maybe the central midfield berths, those running back berths, etc.
It's interesting what you said earlier, Rick, because I completely 100% agree with you in the starting 11 today, because you kind of think that, you know, before today's game, 2 pre-season games left before the Southampton game, of course, the start of the Premier League season. You think that, you know, the team that got us top 4 last year, he will probably stick with. And then the 6 new signings were all on the bench today. Richard said there that he thinks that there'll be a couple of changes. Do you? Because I think that he may stick with that starting 11 in the Southampton game in 2 weeks' time, because, of course, we've now only got one pre-season game left against Roma. Yes, pre-season is all about fitness, but you want to start at this stage thinking about your starting 11 in that first Premier League game, don't you?
Yeah, and you know what, to kind of back up your theory there on the first 11, I think that for Conte, they're probably the fittest. They're the ones that have been in training the longest with him. Do you know what I mean? Spence turned up, what is it, Monday. They got to work with Lenglet Tuesday. Do you know what I mean? So Perisic, he's been out. So we've only got to see a little bit of him today. So on that basis, the team that he formulated last year, they should have a base of what Conte wants, the patterns of play, what he demands within the game, what type of runs he's asking for. They should be more drilled to his game. And then you can bring in those. The more they kind of adapt to what Conte wants and how he wants to play, that's when you start bringing them in. So I totally get where you're coming from with that. But I got a feeling that there will be a couple of changes. I think definitely Perisic. I think Basuma as well coming in there with Bentancur, I think that's going to be dynamite once that starts catching fire. Do you know what I mean? But and even Jed Spence there. Jed Spence, we didn't really get to see too much of him because when he came on, the majority of the play was on the left-hand side, wasn't it? So we didn't really get to see too many of his runs or what he can offer. So, so he may do that, Chris. But what I've seen within these friendlies is the ramp up in intensity. So, obviously, the All-Star game, that was more of a friendly game. Do you know what I mean? In Seville, they came with a bit of bite and intensity was risen because also, like, we'd been run ragged in training, doing 42 laps or whatever it is. So there was that type of mental fortitude there. Can you get through the tiredness barrier? Can you still perform? Can you do what's asked of you when you've got nothing left? Which I think was a great test in itself. And then today, again, ramped up the intensity. England, Scotland, you know, England versus Scotland, Premiership versus the Scottish Premiership as well. Do you know what I mean? Like, so there was a lot of kind of, and they put a trophy on the line as well. So there was another ramp up. And then next week when we play Roma, I mean, come on, we already know that Conte versus Jose. We already know that that's you know, that's fireworks waiting to happen.
And well, it's another trophy as well, Rick.
It's another trophy that'll be on the line. That the both of them will want to win to have something over on the other. Do you know what I mean? So it'll be a great test again next week when we go again. But you're right in the sense of, all right, cool. What can we do here? Who's the fittest? Who can execute the plans that I'm asking you to execute? And it's mostly the first team right now. Give them another week. Let's see. The new boys definitely need more minutes. I would have loved him to change the whole side at halftime today to give them just a half of you know, football to get into the game, to implement their style onto the game, to give us fans a bit more to go on of what these new boys look like in a Spurs shirt. But, bro, I'm still very excited for the season ahead. I think there's so much more to come from this team because we've hardly seen any of the new boys implement themselves within the team as yet. So there's so much more to come, but I think we're in a great place.
Doesn't it seem, let's come to you, Craig, doesn't it seem exciting the fact that we've got six signings over the line in this transfer window? They were all on the bench today. And when you look at that starting 11 today, it looks a very good team and a very, very exciting bench with real depth and real quality. Let's go through the starting 11. Hugo Lloris in goal, the back three of Sanchez, Dier and Romero. Fullbacks, Emerson Royale and Ryan Sessegnon. In midfield, Pierre-Emile Højbjerg and Rodrigo Bentancur. And then the forward three of Kulusevski, Harry Kane and Hunmin Son. Now, after today's game, Antonio Conte was talking about the depth in the squad and said, he was talking about Richarlison and said, Richarlison for sure is a player that we signed to improve the quality of the squad and to rotate without dropping the level. If you want to compete as a team, then the squad has to be 16, 17, 18, able to keep the same level, not be up and then down. Now, this starting 11 today and that sub bench shows that we do now have real quality and depth.
Yeah, absolutely. It's almost like a total change from the end of last season, isn't it? Where you know, he was turning around and looking on the bench and there was, you know, with all due respect, they're just academy players. Not many minutes, you know, Alfred Devine, Harvey White, you know, obviously didn't trust Bergwijn at all. So, you know, we didn't have much. If we got a big injury towards the end of the season, we were royally screwed, weren't we? And we were kind of lucky in that. But the players he's got in, I mean, it's unprecedented for Tottenham to get in anybody before the 1st of July, isn't it, really? Let alone six by before the end of July, with hopefully more to come. And I still said, and you know, you've been through those names, and we know the squad is a lot stronger already. I still think there's going to be a marquee signing. You know, you could argue Richarlison is already. I still think there's going to be a name that I've said to you, Chris, haven't I, many times, a name that's going to make us go, wow. You know, whether that be a Bastoni comes out of left field sort of thing. I don't know. I think there's still going to be somebody that's going to improve the team. And it has, all the signings have improved the squad, haven't they? They've improved the first 11. It's seamless. When one comes in, somebody drops out. There's no drop-off in standards. Exactly what you said there. The only thing about what I don't quite understand, and I'll be interested to know what your thoughts are going forward. Obviously, Reguilon's not really in his plans and we expect him to go, but I would have expected Emerson to go, yet why did he start today if that's the case? That's the thing I don't quite understand. Is he putting him in the shop window? You could argue that. I don't know. But I expected to see, I don't know if Doherty's injured or whatever, or he's just resting him, but I didn't expect to see Emerson from the start today. That was the only one that kind of was a bit weird for me. So could Emerson be staying? It'd be interesting to see what happens. I guess if we have any decent bids in for him, then they might think about letting him go. But obviously at the moment, for me, I think he's looking to keep him. I don't know what you guys think.
I'd be surprised. Now that we've signed Jed Spence, I'd be surprised if either Doherty or Emerson Royale was still at the club at the start of the season. I would expect one to leave. Rich, Ricky, you agree?
Yeah, need to. Even that continuity of the squad as well. You can't have five or six players in one position. Also, Mora being that dynamic and flexible on that side. I think we're now looking to see if we're wanting to challenge for the top three in the league, and we're looking at the squad as well as the first team. Is it strong enough? Is it dynamic enough? Where can we use the players? And we need to trim some of the squad to bring in other players as well. I still think, like Craig, we might get another one or two players in maybe that attacking central midfield position. And also centre-back. And I think what Conte's doing is he's kind of giving players that as much opportunity in his head to go, actually, I don't think you're in my team, you're out. So obviously the players like the Winks, the Reguilons, etc., I think they're going to be kind of eased out the door. Players like, obviously, Emerson, I think he's maybe got another couple of chances, to be honest. I think He will probably stay and Doherty will go. That's my gut feeling.
The thing is, Rich, I think it's very evident that if you are in Antonio Conte's squad right now, you are getting an opportunity and you are getting game time, because during these three games, everybody in the squad has had game time, haven't they? So they've had opportunities.
Yeah, and a lot of the players have taken them, to be honest. There's still lots of different areas. Like Højbjerg today needs to practice his shooting, man. Do you know when he missed that chance? At first, I watched it, I thought, I bet he was overstretching. No way. He had plenty of time to take that. That's 3-on-1. If that happens in the Premier League, that's it.
Yeah.
You need to take him off. That was useless. But even Sessegnon, I think, for me, I've heard a lot of stuff that Conte's said about Sessegnon, and he really backs him. He backs him not only in a Spurs shirt, but in the future in an England shirt. I'm not really seeing that at the moment. I'm seeing the opportunities he's getting into and he's not making the right kind of decision. So Conte's really putting his faith in Sessegnon. But I think, obviously, like the Perisic is going to come in and obviously mentor him through this two-year period as practice.
Ricky, when after the game, Antonio Conte spoke about levels and keeping that high level of quality throughout the team. When you look at the sub-bench today, Forster, Austin, Spence, Doherty, Tanganga, Roden, Lenglet, Perisic, Saar, Basuma, Brian Hill, Lucas Moura and Richarlison. There's some real quality there, isn't there?
It looks fantastic. It absolutely looks fantastic. And it's been a very long time since we've had a bench that we can call on or look on like that. Do you know what I mean? That there are actually players that can come on and affect the game, change the game, you know. And exactly what Rich was saying there, you know, we're talking about a couple of players that, like, you was talking there about Emerson or Doherty or, you know, Sessegnon and stuff like that. There was also Tanganga, who is rumoured to be going on loan to AC Milan, who also came off the bench. There's also Brian Hill, who is rumoured to go out on loan. You know, there was a couple that Saar was the other one, who's rumoured to go out on loan, who looks like a tidy player, by the way.
He looks solid.
He looks like a tidy player. You know what? On Rich's point there about Sess, I've got to say that I totally kind of agree with him. You know, I totally hear the faith that Conte's put in him and the club have put in him. But I haven't really seen him pull up any trees. The game that I can think of in which I've seen the best Sessegnon so far was maybe versus Leeds last year before he got injured. And then that Bayern Munich goal under Poch as well. But I haven't really seen him take his opportunity as much as I would like him to. Do you know what I mean? I haven't seen him really burst and kind of make himself a kind of stonewall starter. Perisic was on for 15, 20 minutes. He didn't get too much play, but that one cross, he done one step over, managed to get enough space, and then the cross that he put in, which was perfect. Do you know what I mean? It was just perfectly weighted. Richarlison just got on top of it. If that was Harry, do you know what I mean? Or even Kulu on that side, who's a little bit taller, I'm sure that would have either been on target or a goal. You know, so these are the things that we want to see from Sess. I think we're all getting excited about, you know, Carl Walker, Danny Rose 2.0 with Spence and Sess. But every time that I've seen Sess so far, I still think there's a way to go. I still see him like having to break out of his shell a little bit. So hopefully that comes by the time of the season. And with Reguilon as well, I've got to say, I agreed with Rich the last time we was on as well. I still felt that he was the best option at left back before Perisic turned up. I still felt he was the best option there. I felt that he, you know, we saw that against when he was playing for Seville, when he was on loan, the crosses and the dynamic runs and the take-ons, fantastic. In the first season that he turned up, he was giving us loads of that. And then I think he got injured and then it just started dropping off a little bit here and there. But yeah, listen, I've got faith in what Conte wants and how he sees the club going forward. I think it's super exciting. I think we haven't seen what this side has to offer yet at all. We're only seeing a base level right now. We've still got levels to go. And I love that now we have a bench and now we have a second team that can actually come in and can maintain those levels, if not rise them a little bit, you know, raise them a little bit. So it's super exciting times still to come for Tottenham.
Craig, do you feel that excitement? Because when you think today was the first time we saw, I know we were all expecting Fraser Forster to be a sub-goalkeeper to Hugo Lloris, but it's the first time we saw him in a Spurs shirt, first time we saw Lenglet in a Spurs shirt, Basuma as well, Perisic the same. There's so much more to come from these players. And of course, we do now only have one more pre-season friendly, you know, before we go into the Premier League season. But, you know, so much more to come. And of course, you know, 40-odd days still the transfer window. Do you expect any more signings? And if so, in what positions? Because when Ricky talks about the wing-backs there, and Rich mentioned them as well, the wing-back positions are so important to Antonio Conte. Do you think we're any further forward with him knowing who the two that he wants to use, you know, for most of the time in these very important matches?
I think left wing back said, you know, I'm a bit of a Reguilon fan. I think he's a good lad and he's put in some good performances. But I think it's plain to see that it's going to be between Sess and Perisic and they're going to share the workload. But on the right, as I've said, I still think perhaps he's undecided about who's going, but you know it's interesting because both Doherty and Emerson have Emerson's agent has almost come out and saying they're staying, haven't they? So, certainly Doherty, but he's got to get rid. He can't have three, can he? And it's interesting he's played Moura in that position, so he could, in theory, if he's happy with Moura playing there, he could take a risk and get rid of both Doherty and Emerson, of course. That is another option. So it's interesting to me that Moore has been playing there. I mean, why would he be playing there? Other than, you know, I can't quite work that one out.
I think maybe if you can rely on him a little bit more than the other two boys, and his delivery is a lot better. I think the delivery of Emerson and Doherty has been questionable for Spurs, for sure. And I think
I'd agree. But in that case, then you that's kind of adds credence to the fact that if you trust him more, then why keep Doherty and Emerson around? You
know, I think one would go.
So I'd possibly two, but. In answer to your question about transfers, I still think if another centre-back comes available, I think we'll be in for him. I think an attacking midfielder will be a possibility of a Maddison mentioned, Zaniolo mentioned. I think there's a deal to be done there with Zaniolo, to be honest. But I think they're going to concentrate on outgoings because we're five over, I think it is, for the Champions League squad in foreign players, isn't it? So you'd expect Ndombele, Lo Celso, Sarr to go out on loan, Reguilon perhaps to leave, and another, perhaps Emerson, I don't know. But that's the numbers they've got to get down because they all can't be in the squad anyway. So Conte's going to want them in the squad, isn't he? So you would think five or six are probably going to go, and that's what they're going to be concentrating on. But if somebody comes available in the positions, they might go for a proper striker, I don't know. But I think they'll just wait and see. Some Paratici will have something going on in the background, no doubt.
Craig, when you mention about a creative midfielder, if Spurs bought a creative midfielder today, where does he fit into Antonio Conte's system and this team? Because it's all well and good. All of us fans keep saying we need some more creativity in midfield. Where does he fit in? You know, what different system does Antonio Conte play with a creative midfielder?
Well, he would have to change the system to what we're aware that he's been playing, you know, since he's been at the club. But don't forget that he somehow got Eriksen in the team when he was at Inter Milan. So there, you can do it. Whether you have two holding midfielders or one, and then just play in the front four, if you like, a three and a one, and play as a number 10, you could do that. But you know, it's quite easy to change the formations. These are professional footballers. They can chop and change. They've played in those formations. So I would expect them to seamlessly go over to whatever he wants them to do. But I still think we need that bit of creativity because you could say Kane does it and he does it brilliantly. Of course he does. But who else is there creating if Kane's not there? So that's why I was absolutely, and I will be gutted to see Christian Eriksen in the Red of Manchester. That is going to kill me seeing that. I'm sorry. I know popular, unpopular opinion. I know you love him too, Chris, but I just still can't get my head around why we didn't go for Eriksen. People say it's a step backwards. Sorry, you're getting Premiership proven quality player for nothing. I just will never work that one out unless Antonio Conte walks in my house and I ever ask him, why the hell didn't you sign Christian Eriksen? He comes up with a decent reason.
Invite him to your next pool party, mate.
Yeah, we could do.
But you
well,
know,
go on.
I was just going to jump on a couple of these points here. Eriksen, I think there was a respect level. I think there was a respect level in the sense that we couldn't offer him the amount of games that he would have required. He would have had to have been adaptable. Whereas Man United kind of can give him the dough that he's after, give him the length of contract that he was after. I don't think that we wanted to disrespect him by giving him a year or 2 year contract and then getting rid of him, selling him, or him not being able to play, or him being upset. Do you know what I mean? I think that for Eriksen, he needed some type of guarantee that he was going to be an important player. And I don't know if Tottenham could have given him that. When talking about the creative midfielders that we're talking about here, I think we're getting narrow-minded in the sense that we're thinking that the guy is going to play number 10 the whole time. If we look at the transfers that we've got, the majority of them, the key that Conte's asked for, or Paratici has asked for, is adaptability, where they can play number 10 or on the right or on the left. This is why Richarlison was bought. This is why Perisic was bought. You saw him everywhere over the field. And I think that this is what makes Lucas important as well, because again, you see his adaptability to be able to play right wing back and then go left wing. Do you know what I mean? Or he can play number 10 or right wing. So I think his adaptability or the adaptability of a creative midfielder coming in is going to be key. And I think that the reason that he's keeping Lucas or even trying Lucas at right wing back is a lot to do with his speed and tenacity and dribbling ability. Also, to be able to get a ball into the box. But he creates problems on a right wing side. You know, right wing, we know as fans that sometimes he will dribble too much or he might run himself into trouble. But right wing back, he's got that whole line to run down. He can cut inside. He can create space. He can create chaos. And I think that's where he's going with that.
Yeah, for sure.
Richard, I want to come back to you and I want to talk about the right wing back situation still, because Jed Spence, of course, became a Tottenham Hotspur player last week. What did you make of Antonio Conte's comments coming out stating that it was a club signing and not his?
I think, obviously, initially the club saw it as an opportunity to maybe get some financial reward from that signing, obviously. Quite cheap for the talent that he clearly has got. Spurs fans are going to see somebody that has got endless amounts of pace, the kind of skill level that Gareth Bale brought on the ball as well, and can cross the ball. So for me, I think Antonio Conte initially probably hadn't seen him as much as maybe some of the other players that he was wanting to get in. But obviously, Paratici and the club wanted Spence in through the door because they saw some real raw talent that the club could invest into, bring him up to the level. I think maybe not from the start of the season, but I think he will show the club some real kind of quality in that investment. And we've definitely gone down a different road with how we're getting our players in, but. A Jed Spence coming into the club shows that we're still looking at those English players with talent. So obviously he's a big part of the under-19s going into the under-21 squad. And he will bring a lot of energy that Reguilón brought on the other side. But like Craig, I'm really disappointed that he's been let go. I think he was definitely a better option on that side. I think Jed's going to be great energy. I think even down to some of the negative energy that we got when we signed him from Middlesbrough and obviously his loan at Forest, saying that he was a little bit of a diva and all the Neil Warnock kind of conversation. What I've heard from him and some of my friends that know of him have said that he's actually quite humble and he's very much a football focused. So I think the Spurs fans will see that in his commitment to the club, especially when he comes on and plays.
And also, Rich, what have you made of Lucas Moura at right wing back? Have you been impressed? And do you think Antonio Conte is impressed?
I think he came on, didn't he? And he did a bit and then he just got moved into his more familiar position. I think, again, what Ricky was saying about how he plays on the ball, I think it's gonna move the ball up through the phases of the... of the pitch, what Lucas likes doing, and obviously then he's going to be obviously chopping and changing with that right, obviously forwards, and not being too isolated. I think sometimes what happens is with Lucas, he gets isolated and then makes a wrong decision, stays with the ball too long, or takes a crazy shot on. Lucas is a great addition to the squad because of how dynamic he is. Again, what the guys were saying about recruitment of players, we're not recruiting for a position. We're recruiting because the attributes that they've got, that they're dynamic enough to play within a Conte team. It's Conte's team and all the pawns are like fitting into the places that Conte wants in certain scenarios. So going back to your point about the attacking midfielder, I think maybe Conte will revert back to a back four. If he fits somebody in as a plan B for that attacking midfielder. Because I think within the Premier League, going into a Champions League season, you need to be dynamic enough not just to be playing the same system all the time.
Rick, let's come to you. In the fifth minute, Kulusevski had a shot on target. It was the first shot on target in the game. Goalkeeper save of his legs. What did you make of Dejan Kulusevski today?
He's just dynamite, isn't he? He's just dynamite. I think he's got speed, he's got tenacity, he's got a real kind of want to win and play under Antonio Conte as well. The cutting, always cutting onto his left, I think might be a problem going forward. He just might have to work out a little trick here or there to kind of switch to the right or practice with the right or a trick to get him past a player so that he doesn't see the switch to the left so that he can have a shot. Because I got a feeling that some, you know, the team, especially in the Premiership, they might go, all right, cool. Let's just, you know, try and work him onto his right foot. You know, he's going to cut back onto his left and then we can nick the ball there. But him as a player is dynamite, bro. He knows the mission that Conte's put out for him. You could see him and Sonny, especially in that first half, just hitting those wings, looking for the over the head ball. Do you know what I mean? Where a player has got their back to him, but they know that all they've got to do is turn and whip it. They don't even have to look. They've just got to turn and whip it, and one of them are going to be there. And you could see that that's what they're going for. And the more that they kind of get up to the speed of play, I think that's gonna be like a winner for us. Also, you know, with the whole kind of Conte and Spence quotes, I really implore every fan to go and read the full article that Alistair Gold done and the whole interview that he done with Conte. I think we tend to, because a lot of us are pessimistic, right? A lot of us have been sold a dream and we've never got it.
We're not, Rick. Are you talking about the other two?
Yeah, not about these two. I'm talking about somebody who's got the initials AC, but we're not talking about air conditioning. No, but what I'm saying is because we've been beaten up and we've been promised the world for so long, that this year, the fact that they're actually delivering is a little bit of a mind blow. So we tend to look for, all right, cool, where are they gonna fleece us? Where are they gonna hit us in the stomach? Where is it gonna happen? So this headline comes out about Conte being like saying, you know, he's not my choice, basically. But if you listen or if you read the rest of that interview, he also says that no player is forced upon him. No player. He will not accept a player that is forced upon him by Levy or Paratici. So he, even though it might not have been his choice, don't get it twisted and don't think that Conte hasn't gone and done his homework on him and gone and watched a couple of games, whether it be, you know, in the video room or whatever, or the analysis room, or looked at his stats, or looked at what type of player he is, physicality, mentally, all of those things. Don't think that if he didn't believe, Conte didn't believe that he, Spence, could become a proper Conte player, that he would have been, you know, recruited or we would have bought him. Absolutely no way. So I wouldn't worry about the quotes. He's just being truthful. He just saying the club identified this player, you know, they brought it to the table. When I've looked at it, I'm like, yeah, you know what? I think he'll be fantastic. Also, he said he will become a very important player for Tottenham. Do you know what I mean? There's another headline, you know? So he's already got a plan. Don't ever think that because he's like, I didn't choose him, that a player's been forced upon him, or he's not there, or he's there and Conte don't want him there. Do you know what I mean? So I wouldn't worry about it whatsoever. Like, we are cooking with gas right now. We've got to trust the system. We've got to trust those that have kind of gone and brought in these players to fulfill the positions and to fulfill the remit that Conte has put before not only the team, but the club. So don't worry about it. Do not worry about it. But Kulu's the man.
Craig, let's come to you. In the 11th minute, a Rangers player was in on goal. Romero with an excellent tackle. And then a few minutes later, he gave away a foul just outside our box. But I tell you what, I know we've said this thousands of times on this channel, but every single time I see Christian Romero, it just seems to get better and better. What did you make of him today, and what have you made of him during pre-season so far?
He's just an animal, isn't he? He's a proper animal. We've needed a defender like him, you know, to support that back three or two or whatever formation we're playing. Just a real superstar, and he's just getting better and better, in my opinion. He was outstanding again today. That double tackle that set up, can't remember who scored it. It was towards the end of last season, the one where he almost cut the player in half when it was on the right hand side. I can't remember who we were playing against, but
it wasn't Richarlison, was it?
I think it was Henderson, Liverpool.
Yeah, Henderson. Yeah.
Oh well, yeah, could well have been, but he's just a phenomenal player, isn't he? And I'm just so glad we've got him, and you can kind of see why he was voted Serie A defender of the year, to be honest. And he's only young, isn't he? You know, he's only going to get better and better with age, isn't he, you'd think. And well, just going back to Kulishevsky, he actually goes as part of the under-21 sort of squad or list, doesn't he? So it's unbelievable because he looks about 50. But he's 21. He's 21.
It's hard to paper out.
It seems to me as well. He's got some pace in the preseason. He seems like he's. They must have had him on a treadmill doing laps. I don't know. He just looks. They all look a lot fitter, but him especially. It's just unbelievable. How they've both come on Kulishevsky and Romero. You know, because Romero didn't really see much of him, did we? Because he had that injury. He was out for a while, but towards the end of last season, he's just, you know, when we've got to pay for him, that's this summer, isn't it? I think.
Is it next summer?
I think Romero.
This summer. Yeah.
It's phenomenal. I'm sure they'll announce that in due course, I'm sure. But yeah, Rolls Royce of a defender. So pleased he's wearing our shirt.
Up there with Van Dijk, I think.
I think so. And if, you know, obviously didn't get to see much of Lenglet today. What I did see, I couldn't really comment on, just didn't see enough of him to have an opinion, really. But yeah. Obviously he wasn't the first choice, but it'll be interesting. I wouldn't be surprised if he perhaps starts there against Roma. He's got to, hasn't he?
He has to, because
we've done about Ben Davies, if he's going to be... He's going to be fit for that first game against Southampton. So I'd really want to see him.
I think Davison did okay, though, today. I think, like I've said before, anything that is going backwards, it's a problem for the team. When he's on the ball and he's looking up and he's playing the ball forwards, I think he's competent. A couple of really good tackles he made today. I didn't see anything negative about it. He wasn't at fault with the goal.
He done a back heel as well, didn't he, Rich? He didn't mean to. It looked great though.
That's great. You put somebody in, didn't he? Who did he put in?
I can't remember, but I know he put somebody in.
Yeah, he did. Yeah. But he looked strong. Chris, I remember you saying, obviously watching him train, that you thought he looked like he'd beefed up a bit. He looked strong, and maybe that's something that Antonio's said to him, that to be in my team, you need to be physically stronger.
Well, he's fast, isn't he? I mean, Kyle Walker was never the best defender, but he's got pace and he can get back and just get in the way. So as long as he's not having these mad moments, you know, if you're fast, you get back and you block a shot, you know, whereas perhaps the slow defender, Ben Davies, quality defender, but he's not the quickest, is he? So,
The three today looked strong. I think it was, I just think, obviously, when you've got those wing backs, they need to come back and defend a little bit. And that's where I think, obviously, the three at the back really did have to work quite hard today.
Rich, let's talk about Rangers' goal. Of course, they went 1-0 up in the 24th minute. But before that, they had a shot at a goal in the 18th minute, comfortable for Hugo Lloris. And then just before the goal was scored, Eric Dier gave the ball away. Poor control from the Rangers forward. Luckily, we got the ball away. But then moments later, Rangers took the lead, went 1-0 up, tapped in. A cross came in from the right. It was flicked on and then it was tapped in. What did you make of our defending for that goal?
I think they'd be setting it on the line, and then it was kind of a little bit of a flick, and then is it Tavernier? And then it was obviously the striker put it in. I think it was a little bit switched off by the centre-backs. They had 20 minutes probably today where they were pressing well. And I think the team looked a little bit tired mentally as well as physically. And then obviously when they scored, it was just that light bulb moment where it's like, we're here now. We need to go up those two levels. We're a far better team than Rangers. I think Højbjerg, Benzinker, that point didn't have a lot of influence on the game. Then all of a sudden, obviously, again, that light bulb moment, they need to be into the tackles, kind of not letting the Rangers players settle on the ball and just take full control of the game. I thought we'd win that game easily, especially after that first half. I know we were 1-0 down, but we had so many opportunities. As we know, Kane's like dynamite in front of goal at the moment, everything he touches. Yes, McGregor did have a couple of saves, But yeah, he looks very sharp. Last year, with all the Man City talk, he came into the season and he was having to work his way through. I think this year he's going to be on it from game one. Yeah, very positive with that. I think Rangers, for me, were just a little bit of a sitting duck. At that point, we just had those levels to raise to take control of the game.
Rick, let's come to you. Rich said there we had a whole host of opportunities, which we did. We should have scored a whole handful of goals in that first half, and we didn't. In the 25th minute, and Richard mentioned this one earlier as well, good work from Hunmin Son, and then Pierre-Emile Højbjerg shot wide. It was laid on a plate to him. How on earth did he miss?
I ain't got a clue, Rav. I don't even know how he didn't get to, like, at least connect. Do you know what I mean? Like,
it's just saying that keeper saved it.
He got a touch. He got a touch. No, he didn't get a touch.
That old chestnut.
But you know what? Let's put it down to preseason. Let's put it down to a bit of kind of a bit of exhaustion or whatever it is, a bit of fatigue, let's say. And let's hope that he saves the goals for the Premiership. But on Højbjerg, I'm sure it was Højbjerg today that put Dier in trouble. When Dier let go of that ball, do you know, you were just speaking about it there, Rich. But who put Dier in trouble? I'm sure it was a pass from Pierre. I'm sure
it was. Yeah, I think it was. I think you're right.
And then what was it? Last week's game, didn't he do a back pass that was terrible? Yeah. And then somebody, I can't remember, one of the Seville players took it on as well. So maybe that's something to watch. His touch is a bit off. We've still got to get him up to speed a little bit. But, I see this. These pre-season friendlies, this is where you make your mistakes. This is where you do scuff the ball. This is where you take a shot from outside the box and go, ooh. You know, this is where you try new free kick takers, which I really would have loved Sonny to take a free kick today. But I'm sure that's a different subject. We'll speak about that in a minute. I would have loved it. But this is where you're making mistakes, okay? And this is where you recognise what mistakes you made so that you don't make it when 3 points are on the line. So, you know, all right, he slipped, he missed it, it went off. But let's hope that versus Southampton or versus Chelsea, that there's a banger in there for Pierre.
Craig, let's come to you. In the 28th minute, Kulusevski went on a good run, passed it to Hunmin Son, got the ball back from him, had a shot tipped over the bar by the goalkeeper. And then a minute later, Christian Romero had a chance in front of goal, headed over. How on earth did he miss that one?
It was a weird one, that was, because I wasn't actually sure it was one of our players headed it. And it was only until they showed it the second time. I just couldn't believe it. I thought it was easier to score than to miss, but it was just a really weird one. But he'll be thinking about that, no doubt, tonight. But you know, as I've said before, at least he was in the right position. You know, if our players are in the right, but if this is one of those set pieces that this guy has been working on, as Ricky said, it's a shame they didn't work on it with the Kane free kick, because that obviously hasn't been worked on, because that was exactly as straight as last season, just straight into the bloody wall.
I was like, if Son is not taking this, what the hell is going on, man?
I don't get it. It's obviously, if you're working on it from different positions around the box, what I'm guessing he's doing, you can't, if you've got a direct free kick and you're having a shot, all that you can change is where our other players are going to be. You know, if they're standing in a certain position to get out of the way. I think Kane hit one of our players, in fact. That's what I don't. Didn't quite understand. So is it one of them up the arse? And he's going like this. Yes, Harry, that was bad again. How can you do all these wonderful things yet you can't score a free kick?
He had that effort, didn't he? He had that effort and he scored, and it was like three players, and it like luckily went in, and then all of a sudden he's like, yes, I've got it back. Where Sonny scored in two consecutive games in both top corners, and I'm going, look, that is where you need to go. If the ball is in those positions, Sonny takes it. Not Harry, Sonny. That's it. If you're listening, Antonio, Sonny in those positions, not Harry anymore. That's it.
But what has Bio been doing? This new free kick, this new set piece guru that we've got in. surely he's like, listen, Kane, I love you. You're going to score 100 goals next year, but none of them are going to be free kicks. So what we're going to do is we're going to let Sonny take them. Let's give him a go. Let's give him a go. Yeah. I mean, come on. Come on. Like, again, hopefully they're holding it all off for the season. But we need to start seeing a little something, a little change in these set players. Yeah, yeah, man.
Yeah, there's 4,000 set plays, 4,000 different ways Harry Kane can kick it into the wall. That's all I've seen. That's all I've seen. So he needs to. Is Chris frozen or is?
No, he's just really enjoying this talk. That's all it is.
I think he's frozen, isn't he?
I think he's just gone to the bar in Glasgow. Yeah. Got himself some beers for tonight.
Yeah. He's left us. He's put up in a frozen picture of himself. He's left us to it and he's off. He's in the bar already.
If anybody's out in Glasgow tonight, you might see Chris.
Yeah, and he's gonna look exactly like he does in this photo. Yeah, yeah, absolutely. who's next? Richard. I'll tell you what, just while Chris is in the loo or whatever he's doing. Harry Kane, right? The free kicks, we've covered this, but then he goes and does what he does. I mean, the first finish was phenomenal, but the second one was brilliant as well, wasn't it?
Yeah, yeah. I think Kane's one of those real confidence players, but you can tell what he's going to do. It's like, you know, when Thierry Henry was playing for Arsenal, you kind of knew that he'd kind of pull the ball to the right and then he'd curl it in that right-hand corner all the time, whatever you did. Harry's the same. He's obviously one-on-one with that defender. The defender knows he's going to knock it to the right and then try and bend it in that corner. And he does it competently. I think what we've got now with Richarlison is another option. If Harry does need time away from the pitch due to injuries, or we know that sometimes that he is, with that being overworked, sometimes he can get injured. One of my concerns with Richarlison is that header today was probably the only chance that clear-cut chance that Richarlison's had in pre-season. I think we need to get Richarlison more into those positions that Harry's in, more into those positions, so he's got those opportunities. Because I can see him as a person needing those chances to build his confidence going into the season. Against Roma, he needs to score or at least have those opportunities.
Do you think he'll worthy of a start up front as the number nine, Rich, then? Reckon, against Roma?
I don't know. I think he's going to have to, isn't he? He's going to have to start him and maybe Kulo or Sonny kind of sit on the bench and just use that as an option for those front three. I think what happens is when Richarlison's there with Sonny, then Harry kind of drops back slightly and it's a little bit more closed. I definitely saw that the other day. And then the wing-backs are obviously then bombing past. If that's the case, then we definitely need to get Richarlison those opportunities, because he's a player that, I don't know if you look at his body language, sometimes he doesn't look like he's too interested. But I hear from what I've heard from the other players and from other clubs, that's just his demeanour. He's just pissed off when he doesn't score. For me, he just looks a little bit disinterested. It'd be just really good for him to get on the score sheet.
Yeah, Rick, I'll tell you what, I think that, didn't you, about Richarlison? I never really liked him much at Everton, but I kind of like him now, don't you?
Listen, he's got a cockerel on his shirt, bruv. I love him. Stay there one second. I'm just going to open the door.
Everybody's leaving. Is it my turn to leave now? Right. Kane's gone. No, Rick is gone. Chris is gone.
I'm here. No worries. No, but listen, like, I think that what's really important right now is more the positions. So are they making the right runs? Are they in the right positions to receive the ball? Or they don't really need to score. He doesn't really need to score right now, only for confidence and stuff like that. But he doesn't really need to score right now. The positions, the runs, where he should be when Harry's got the ball, or when Højbjerg's got the ball, or when Spencer's got the ball. If you're in the right position, then goals, they'll come. And they'll come in bags, mate. They'll come in like a... Like a waterfall,
Brad. I'm sure that as a striker, he wants to get that first stiffy of scoring for Spurs. I'm sure, right?
But again, him being frustrated going into the season, I think that helps us because he's going to want to score once he does get on the field when it comes into a competitive game. You're back, Chris.
I'm back. I was just shining the trophy. That's what I was doing.
Is that what you call it? Is that what you call it? Mrs. Carlin?
Great. Is it bigger than we won with the one that we won today?
Yeah. Now, in the 32nd minute, Eric Dyer had a long-range shot. Of course, he did this exact thing in the pre-season game against Team K League, where he scored a fantastic goal. But where has this confidence of Eric Dyer shooting from long-range come from?
Do you know what? I think, personally, he's always had it in the locker. We have seen him shoot from distance before. He just hasn't got anywhere near the goal. So I think he's always had the confidence with it. But he does strike a ball well in all seriousness. You know, we've seen him take free kicks. And we were talking earlier about free kicks and Harry Kane. I mean, Eric Dyer's surely got to be up there in the pecking order before Harry. You know, Harry can do marvellous things. But there's one thing he can't do, and that's take free kicks. And I can't believe, you know, that's the thing. We don't see training. So is he banging them in training? He's saying, you know, because surely, even Antonio Conte would tell him and say, like Ricky said, you know, Harry, I love you, mate. But for fuck's sake, walk away from the ball and you get a free kick. You know, because why would you do it? And
maybe there's a position there for you, Craig.
Well, do you reckon? Yeah, well, I'd have to be Italian now. I'm not Italian, am I? I'd have to learn a bit of Italian.
Didn't you hear Kulu during the week where he was joking, but he was like, they asked him a question about free kicks, and Kulu was like, look, you know, like, Harry's got to come off free kicks, and like, Sonny's got to take a free kick. And even if that's a joke, that should tell us something about what's going on in training. Do you know what I mean? So, come on.
How are all of us fans still talking about that same thing, though, about the free kicks? And how is Harry Kane, on a serious note, how is Harry Kane still on those free kicks?
I think it's purely that, you know, people obviously respect, all the players respect Harry Kane. I mean, Harry Kane says he wants the free kick, regardless of how bad he's been on them. The players just say, well, look, you know, he's vice-captain, he's Harry Kane, we're going to let him have another go. And he probably just wants to prove everybody wrong and put one in the back of the net. But
Hugo's in the side of the pitch, that's why. Hugo's right at the end, so he can't tell Harry not to take the
ball. I don't get it. I don't get it. If it was penalties, you know who your penalty taker is. Yeah. You know who your corner takers are. And you would think you would know who your free kick takers are. And you're right. Sonny was standing there and they were having a discussion. Now, if that was Sonny, perhaps Sonny's got to be a bit stronger and say, Harry, I've got to have this. You know the discussions we've had. You've watched Chris Cowley's podcast. Everybody thinks you shouldn't be on free kicks. So let me have it, you know. I don't get it, Chris. I really don't. But hopefully they'll sort that out, because surely that's one of the easiest things to sort out, you know.
Yeah. Well, a couple of other chances that Tottenham had before half-time. In the 33rd minute, Harry Kane was through on goal. He shot, goalkeeper saved with his legs. And then in the 40th minute, Heung-min Son put it wide to Emerson Royale. Good cross in, and then it was cleared. And then half-time, it was Rangers 1, Tottenham Hotspur 0, even after all of those chances. Half-time, Lucas Moura and Yves Bissouma come on. We saw Yves Bissouma for the first time in a Tottenham Hotspur shirt. Emerson Royale and Benton Kerr went off. In the 47th minute, Rich, Sanchez with a back heel to Ryan Sessegnon, goalkeeper saved a one-on-one. What I want to know is, what is Davinson Sanchez? What was he doing up there, back heeling it to Ryan Sessegnon in order to create that chance? Incredible. But yeah, another chance.
He's got in his locker. I tell you, that's what they've been working at in Korea. Didn't you see all that stuff? That's it. You must have been closing your eyes when they're working on that. Back heel kind of malarkey. But I think it's good that obviously the centre-backs are moving forward. You saw today Romero, obviously, in those advanced positions. Obviously, Dyer moving forwards with the ball. I think, again, what happens is the players move into those advanced positions, and those defensive midfielders, whether it's like Højbjerg, Bissouma, then drop into that centre-back position to kind of cover those positions. And again, Ricky, Craig, we've all said it's just about being dynamic as players in a Conte team. And that's definitely what happens. If you really watch the kind of the picture of what Conte paints, somebody moves forward, somebody drops back. Somebody moves forward, somebody drops back. So all the positions are always covered. So that 3-on-1 that obviously we had with Rangers, that should never happen in an ideal world, because the players have all got their responsibilities.
Rick, let's come to you. As much as we talk about Harry Kane and his free kicks, we always talk about Harry Kane won the goal. And this week is no different because the equaliser for Tottenham in the 50th minute, that was a world-class finish again from him, wasn't it?
World-class, bro. I'm telling you this. He's on a mission to get his golden boots back. Look, he's like, Sonny, I love you, but I need that back. Salah, you can do one because I need that back too. And, you know, like last year, we know what last year was. We know the story, the journey that Harry Kane had. And until Antonio Conte turned up, what a difference that we saw within that player. But this year, he is not messing about. When we see not only that equaliser goal, but the second goal, it was just, he's super sharp right now. I said it on the last show. You know, normally he goes the first month without scoring. That is going to go out of the window this year, let me tell you. Yeah. He's not only going to score against Southampton, but he's going to bang two against Chelsea. He is on it. He is all over it, bruv. He is loving what Conte's bringing to the table. He's loving the mission. He's excited, and he wants to go and show everybody again. Anybody that was kind of, you know, like, I don't know, underrating him or kind of underestimating him or doubting him, he's going to put all those doubts to bed again. Again, the same thing that he done after one season wonder. The same thing again after, oh, yeah, but it's only one golden. But the same thing after every time that boy has been challenged, that man has been challenged. He has come back and shut everybody up. And let me tell you, he's going to come back this year. And the opposition fans are going to be so bitter when it comes down to Harry Kane, let me tell you, because he is going to wipe the floor with a lot of them. Wipe the floor with a lot of them. And you know what? Also, before I go, like I'm leaving. But before we move on, Conte, you know what? Like, when you look at a back three or a back five, you could see it as defensive, right? You could see it as defensive, whether it's on paper, an extra defender, or whether you're trying to analyze it. But you know what? Everything about that defensive formation is attacking. Romero's attacking. Left centre back, whether that's Davies, Longley, that's why Longley's in, so that he can push forward, so that he can get some cross balls in. Dyer moving forward, the reason that he's got confidence to not only push forward, but to shoot, is because he knows that people, like Richard saying there, people are going to cover him, and he's got enough time and space to go and make that happen. By having Romero, especially last season, by having Romero so far up the pitch, what did it do? It created chaos. It created chaos in the opposition because they're like, all right, and cool. There's another player that's pushed forward. Where's Harry going? Where's Sonny going? All right, but also, if we get the ball back, we can counterattack. So let's try and get the ball back. But they can't get the ball back. So he just creates chaos. It creates second-guessing, which allows us that millisecond to go and bang a goal or to go and create something from nothing. So I love what Conte's doing, not only with the attackers, but the defence. He wants to attack from top to bottom, let me tell you. So, again, we're about to see the proper Conte side this year. You know, after a proper pre-season and you know, everyone starting from 0 points, I'm super excited to see what comes next.
I love you keep saying that, super excited. I'll tell you what was weird today in Glasgow, that Rangers were playing at home on a Saturday, 3 p.m. kickoff. Celtic were also playing at home, 3 o'clock kickoff against Norwich in a friendly. It's the first time that they had played at home at the same time, same kickoff time, since 1999. And Partick Thistle also in Glasgow were playing at home at 3 p.m. kickoff, wow. Which is unheard of. And I can't believe, Ricky, that we're on this show for over an hour and no one's mentioned Ricky Norwood and Watford away.
All right. Do you know what? I was going to leave it to the end and let everybody. I was going to send a lovely message at the end and be like, guys, I'm sorry. I've had complications. There's been audition. I've had tech issues. I've had sound issues. But listen, to everyone that wants that Watford story, firstly, first and foremost, I want to thank every one of you, 75,000 subscribers that have subscribed to the channel and that have not only supported Chris, but have supported all of us being on and that contribute every single week and every single time that there's a show on. So I've got to send a big thank you out to all of you. And the video will be coming, I promise. It's going to get done. It's just been a really crazy week. But it will be there just to thank every single one of you, 75,000. And if you're watching right now and you haven't subscribed, what are you doing? This is some of the best content out there. what are you doing? Mr. Chris Cowland goes all around the country. He does travel blog. Like, he'll do day-to-day blogs when we're on pre-season, and he'll give you a flavour of the city, not only a flavour of the game and the people and what else is going on. So if you haven't liked or subscribed as yet, make it happen, guys. Come on, you Spurs, and just tap the button. It's simple. Change it from red to grey. We don't like red in this. So change it. If you hit it, it goes from red to grey. So, like, let's make that happen, shall we?
And we're looking for a new channel sponsor, Garmin, for Ricky to do his bit. So, thank you very much, Garmin.
That's the last time. Do you know what? Craig, I done you a favour last week, and that's the last time I did you a favour.
You did, yeah, but I do apologise as well for the tweet to say about you've gone to Gatwick to pick Chris up from the airport. But I couldn't resist.
No, do you know what? They do crack me up, and all of the fans that banter, it does make me giggle, man. It is funny, but I just don't want to tell the story ever again after I record this video, all right? All right.
Is
he frozen again?
He looks really happy though, doesn't he?
He looks like he's shining that trophy in pretty well there, doesn't he?
it looks like somebody's shining the trophy for him.
That's it. My goodness.
I think he's probably going to disappear in a minute unless he comes back. He's gone again. Right, okay. So, well, where did we get to in the game? It was Harry Kane's goals, wasn't it? So, I suppose we better talk about the subs. I suppose it was nice, Richard, to see the Jed Spence get on for me. I mean, he's one I've been championing since I heard we was linked to him. I think he's going to be a big player, regardless of what other people might think. I think he's going to be a big player. I don't think he's going to be another Jack Clark. Have you seen much of Spence?
Because I know quite a lot of the Forest boys, so yeah, they're very massively. He's a good lad. He's got a lot to offer. He's still got a lot to improve. More around that kind of mental side of delivery. But he's one for the future, isn't he? He's Brian Gill today as well. I thought he came on, he had some nice touches, he was positive. Did. I like him actually. I'm actually pleased that hopefully we keep him in the squad and we don't send him out on loan. I think he's got a different aspect to offer the team. He definitely is positive on the ball. We've not seen a lot of end product from him since he was actually signed by the club. But that's obviously that's something that some of the loan clubs that he's been with have seen. But I think it was great that all the signings actually got on the pitch in the second half. Even Fraser Foster, keep a clean sheet in his first game for Spurs, is obviously it's great. And also, sometimes when you can have six or seven changes, it can really upset the kind of balance of the team, which I don't think it did. Again, going back to what I said before about Richarlison, I'd really like... You all right, Chris? Is Chris actually here, or is that a picture? Do you reckon that's a picture?
I'm not sure what that is.
It looks that like he's got one too much.
That Glasgow Wi-Fi ain't doing him no
mate, good. Mate, it's terrible, isn't it? I bet he's on the dongle. You know, is he on one of them?
No. Do you know what that is? I've worked it out. Remember those little things for the South Koreans? The pictures of the pictures of Antonio. It's a picture of Chris. Holding up like that.
I reckon he's took the cheap option. He's either in some university digs or he's in the Best Western somewhere in Glasgow.
He's gone again.
He's gone, that's it. They've cut him off. Somebody in the university has actually gone, actually, somebody's illegally trying to stream a podcast.
Kicking back in on the Wi-Fi. That's it. Ricky, what do you think about the new signings? Do you think it's gonna give everyone a boost to really think their position's not as perhaps solid as they perhaps thought it was, which is a good thing, isn't it? Competition.
Yeah. We always say it, don't we? We always say competition for places is really important. And I think especially this year, because what Conte's done is he's risen the level of the second team. He's risen the level of those wanting to jump onto the pitch and take those shirts off of the first team players, off of those that have started. So I think we have done some great business. But I do think it's really important that against Roma, we either start with the second string or we finish with the second string. I'm talking like a whole half. I thought we was going to get it today, but I think a whole half of football in a preseason friendly, where again, like I said earlier, it's the place to make a mistake. It's the place to get it wrong so that you can get it right when it comes down to a proper game, when there's 3 points on the line. So I think that a lot of them need to be integrated. But what I do like is that none of them have been chucked in straight away. Normally, when we get a sign-in, straight away, they're in the first team, right? You know, and especially a first-teamer. But having a first-teamer level come into your club and then have to earn the shirt, have to earn his start, I think it's going to do wonders for us, man. Are you back, Chris? Are you with us? Tell us you're with us, bro. He's still not with us.
He's still not. O2's not got to Scotland yet.
He hasn't, has it? Bloody hell. Poor Chris.
Do you think we'll do any more business in the off-season?
Yeah, I do. I said about the creative midfielder side of things, I don't think it's just a number 10. I think it's somebody that can play number 10, somebody that we're talking about Zaniolo and Maddison, right? So both of them can fit into that side. But both of them, if you saw Zaniolo in pre-season, I think it was a day ago, 2 days ago, he looked strong as hell. Both of those knees, they look strong as hell. So, and he was very dynamic, caused a lot of trouble, done great with his crossing, cross-field passing. He scored as well in pre-season. So there is an option there. But I do think, especially with what's going on at Inter Milan right now, where they haven't been able to sell Skriniar, whether it's Skriniar or Bastoni.
Either.
I would love it to be, and all of us would love it to be Bastoni for all the reasons that we've already discussed. But I still think there is at least one more coming, if not two.
Yeah. I never thought I'd say this, but I know how Ramon Vega feels. Good grief. Rick, let's stay with you. What did you make of the incident in the 55th minute with Kulusevski getting a yellow card for supposedly diving? Did you see that as a dive? Was it a dive?
I think it was. It didn't look like a challenge, bro. It didn't look like a pen to me. When I saw the slow-mo, in real time, I was like, oh, well, he's got clipped. In slow-mo, I couldn't really see it. And mind you, I was watching it on my phone as well. So maybe it was a dive, or maybe where Kulu was going so rapidly that one little twitch, one little knock just sent him off balance and that sent him to the floor. And maybe it was misinterpreted as a dive. But I wouldn't call it a dive, and I wouldn't call it a foul, and I wouldn't call it a pen. I don't know whether that helps or answers your question, bro.
I think it was just momentum. I think it was just like, as he was moving through the gears, and I think he did feel something, but it was more of kind of a hand on his shoulder, but it wasn't through his feet for sure. It showed a couple of different angles on the Spurs play, and it definitely wasn't contact through his feet.
Craig, I
was going to say, in the 60th minute, Richarlison and Perisic come on. Of course, we haven't seen Perisic in a Spurs shirt before today. What did you make of his half an hour, and what have you made of Richarlison's time in a Spurs shirt so far? You've been impressed?
I mean, Perisic, obviously, haven't seen enough of him really to say. Love it. I haven't seen enough of him to comment on him in the Spurs shirt, but I thought what he did have, he done well. He had the bicycle kick, didn't he? I think he's going to be a big player because we all know his quality. I think he's going to be great. I think he's going to be great for Seth. So I've got no worries about Perisic. I think he's going to be a really important member of the squad. Richarlison, I was saying when you went off there, Chris, that I disliked Richarlison when he was at Everton. He always looked miserable and diving and all that, which I don't like. But now he's at Tottenham. It's amazing, isn't it? You love a player. But he does seem to me to be quite happy now. He seems to have almost got his mojo back, which he probably lost, to be fair, at Everton last season. But I think, again, I've been impressed with what I've seen so far. You kind of know what you're getting with him. He's a hard worker, which I think isn't one of the main reasons why they signed him. You're not going to just want players, almost luxury players, that don't put the work in. I think he's going to be a great addition to that front line and keep everyone on their toes. So I just think we got a solid Premiership proven player there in Richarlison, and yeah, I can't wait for him to get that first notch. That'll settle him down as well. He'll want to get that first goal, and I hope he gets it within the first couple of weeks. I mean, imagine getting it against Chelsea in the, I think it's the second game we play Chelsea, is it? Second or third game? Yeah. So, yeah, I think that would be great. That would be absolutely fantastic. And getting I think we're away at Chelsea, aren't we, Chris? And I know how much you love going to Stamford Bridge. So that would make it even sweeter, wouldn't it, for you?
That's almost as good as the Wi-Fi in Scotland here, yeah. Rich, in the 72nd minute, let's talk about another couple of new Tottenham Hotspur additions this summer, because Jed Spence came on, and within 30 seconds he made a good tackle into his debut. Didn't really get a lot of the ball after that. And then, of course, Fraser Forster came on for Tottenham Hotspur as well. He was booed quite a lot when he touched the ball at Ibrox, because, of course, he used to play for Celtic. What did you make of those two today?
Yeah, we didn't see a massive amount of them, especially Jed Spence going forwards. But it just shows that obviously he's not just a one-trick pony with going forwards. He's obviously, he knows he's got those duties coming back as well and supporting the team defensively, which is really important. Fraser Foster's obviously going to be that backup keeper for Hugo, but I'm sure he will play at some point. I think he's steady, isn't he? And I told you before that I did some work with Southampton on a project, a footballing project, a long time ago, and he was there, and he was actually quite an amenable guy. That's intelligence, I think, is lacking a little bit, but football ability, he's definitely got some of that in between the two sticks. So, and he's massive as well. He's such a big guy, which definitely does help, and he does. You just get down to the floor and get up quite quickly. I think the thing is with the substitutes today is because we were all thrown on at once, it was kind of, you never really had time to kind of really immerse yourself in what that player was about. And even with some of the players that you thought, actually, we're really looking forward to Botsuin coming on and kind of really having an impact, I don't think we really saw the best of him. But Perisic, I think he's been the one that, he's gone under the radar, really. We signed him on a three, and he's going to add experience. Look at the goals he scored last year and assists. Yes. I think he's going to bring something slightly different to the team that we have not seen before.
Ricky, it was nice to see Bissouma finally in a Spurs shirt as well today.
Goodness, man. Oh, man. Yeah, but it's just that I wish I could have seen more of him. But, you know, he's quick. He can play with both feet. He's defensive offensive all at the same time. It's just the beginning. And let me just kind of caveat. And also, he's got a pair of the sexiest boots that I've seen a player have. Let me tell you.
God, I wonder what you was going to say there. Jesus Christ. Keep it clean.
Listen. I ain't got the trophy. You know, Chris is shining the trophy over there in Scotland. But,
and I'm not with Ramon, by the way.
Yeah. We could tell you had no vino, bruv. You had no vino. If vino was there, we would have known. But yeah, do you know what? A lot of people have kind of said, I've seen a lot of tweets saying some are underwhelmed about the business that we've done. Now, what I will kind of say to that is, how do they perform in a Spurs shirt? We were all hyped over Ndombele. I thought he was going to be the second coming, let me tell you. Do you know what I mean? I thought he was going to be the one that just destroyed every other team and was going to be the one that we pinned all our hopes on to kind of win a game or to change a game or to be the man in that game. And he ended up being underwhelming. And so if those that are underwhelmed by the signings that we've already signed, I would say just give it a minute. Let's see what they do in a Spurs shirt. Because a lot of people were underwhelmed with Bentancur and Kulusevski when they turned up. And that's all gone out the window right now. And yes, boots can be sexy, all right? I saw that in the corner of my eye. They can be sexy. They're damn sexy. But yeah, so if you're underwhelmed by any of the signings that we've got so far, just give it a minute. Let's see what they do in a Spurs shirt with a cockerel on the chest, and then we can judge them.
Ricky, last question for you all. And can any of you guess what the last question is? Go on.
It's going to be where are we going to finish in the league?
Yeah,
where
are we going to finish? Answer the last question without me even answering it. Go with you, Ricky, first.
All right, so I'm saying second minimum, and I'm also saying a trophy as well. I'm saying FA Cup. I reckon FA Cup and at least minimum second. That's what I'm saying.
What about you, Craig?
I'd love to say second. I think it's a possible. I'm not convinced there's perhaps a lot of people that Liverpool are going to have as good a season. I think Mane's going to be a massive loss for him. Darwin Nunes, I haven't seen enough of him to see if he's any good. I'm told he's pretty good. I don't know much about him, but I'm on a high. We won a trophy today, so I'm going to say second and a trophy. What that trophy is going to be, I don't know. But I wouldn't be surprised if it's the League Cup or FA Cup. But I think we're going to fall short of the Premiership if I'm on. But do you know what? The way we started off today, I thought this looks like a real squad. And Conte's got his teeth into this. We've had a proper Conte pre-season. So who knows? Sky's the limit. Let's dream big.
Craig, we haven't asked you this because you haven't been on in a good while. But what do you think Tottenham really need to really compete against Liverpool and Man City?
I think we're getting there, to be honest with you. I think we're getting there, but he's built. You need a big squad to compete with City and Liverpool and a quality squad, and he's building that. So I still think we're a couple of players short, and I think we're a superstar. We could do with a real marquee superstar signing that's, as I've said many times, going to make everybody go, wow. Who that player is, I don't know, but I think we're still a couple of players away. And but you know, Conte dreams big, doesn't he? He's not there to finish second in anything. So, as I said, the sky's the limit, and we're always happy this time of the year. We weren't last year, were we, under Nuno? Do you remember when we went to MK Dons last year, Chris? We was full of optimism, thinking him and his beard were going to get us over the line, but it didn't happen. But
he did promise. He did promise to make us proud, and he didn't.
He did when he left.
Yeah,
I think there's going to be a rule anyway very soon that we're not going to mention that name on this channel any longer.
Good idea.
Rich, what's your answer to this final question that I've even asked?
It's the answer to the question you've not answered. Well, I always go back to, so for any successful team, you need to have a strong manager. We've got that. And we've got that quarterback in Harry Kane. That defensively and offensively is somebody that kind of leads by example. Whether he's captain or not makes no difference. We're going to get closer to the top of the Premiership this season for sure than we did last year. I would say, I think Man City. See, I'm not sure about that. Like, Man City with selling their players to another top six side, not top four, top six side. I don't know why they've actually done that. Why they sold Jesus and Shevchenko to Arsenal? It just astounds me, really. Why would any Premier League side that knows that certain teams are starting to build for a potential title challenge? but you know what I mean. So I think Man City are going to be weaker this year.
I don't see Arsenal as a threat, Richard. That's what it is.
I think that we'll be third. I think Man City and maybe even Chelsea, you know, and Liverpool fourth. That's what I'm thinking. I'm thinking Chelsea second. But I think it's going to be very tight between the top three. What do you think?
What do I think? I think the trophies are coming.
Your Wi-Fi just about to cut out.
The trophies are coming. I tell you what, on a serious note, the trophies are definitely coming. I am so optimistic about this season, so excited about this season. Cannot wait for the Premier League to start. I really can't. You know, obviously, we play Roma and Israel next week, and then that Southampton game. I have absolutely no doubt that we're going to get the 3 points on that day. And then, as you guys mentioned earlier, Chelsea up. You know, as our second Premier League game away at Stamford Bridge. I tell you what, if we win that game as well, I think that we'll all be on a high, and, you know, the season will you know, would have got off to a flying start, which, yeah, will be great. So I can't wait. I'm really, really looking forward to it. Rich, thanks so much for joining us this evening. This hour and 23 has absolutely flown by, but of course it does.
Because you've not been on it half the time, that's why. You think you've been in the student bar in the university, that's why.
Yeah, and Billy are in the long haul, wouldn't we?
No, no, we agree.
You watch it back now.
Rick, we agree. All the banter is always aimed at Ricky Norwood and not me.
That's ridiculous.
No, Rich, thanks so much for joining us, and tell everyone where they can find you on social media and what you're up to at the moment.
Just a marathon champ. Yeah, I'm like you, Chris. I'm training for London Marathon, so I'm doing a bit of road running. Great North Run, London Marathon, New York Marathon, and I have a bit of a rest at Christmas. But I'm heavily working on my foundation at the moment, the Richard Whiting Foundation, which is really important to give people lots of exposure within sport, and I'm also the Spurs Ability Ambassador for obviously the club, to provide everybody with inclusion within the ground as well. So I'll be around a lot more next year.
Fantastic. Well, thanks so much for joining us, Rich. And Ricky, thanks so much for joining us. What are you up to at the moment? Where can people find you?
Well, you know where to find me. You can find me on Twitter at Ricky J Norwood or on Insta at Official Ricky Norwood. But what am I going to be up to? I've just been doing a couple of auditions, but the thing that is the most paramount out of everything is recording this damn video. Let me tell you, it's recording this damn Watford story. Let me get it out of my life. Do you know what I mean? So that is definitely going to be the priority in the next week or so. But let me say again to every single one of you fans that watch, that subscribe, that support the show, that support Chris, that support all of us that are come on as panelists, enough love. I'm sending you loads and loads of love. All the subs and support is greatly appreciated, not only from myself, but I know from Mr. Chris Cowlin himself. So listen, Absolutely. Keep it going. Keep pressing the button. Let's raise it up to 100 grand. I'll probably have another story for you when it gets to 100 grand subs. So let's keep it going. Let's keep it going.
Thank you so much, Rick. We haven't mentioned Princess Switch 3 for a while. Should we mention that?
I mean, it's on my water bottle, isn't it? Do you know what I mean? Look. No, let's get to Christmas and we can mention it. All right.
You are going to come back then.
Who knows, bro? Yeah. Who knows?
And Craig, thanks so much for joining us again. And where can people find you? And what are you up to in that hot tub?
Oh yeah. Well, the Chinese takeaway just arrived, so it's perfect timing. But if you really want to, I'll eat it in the hot tub. There's no water in it. We turned it off. Can't afford the lecky. So, CM9. If you want to follow me on Twitter, I don't put a load on there. After it's just for I use it for following top, mainly Tottenham stuff. But I do put the odd thing on there about Spurs. But just going to be enjoying the summer and. Can't wait to cheer on Spurs when the Premier League starts. But just echoing what Ricky says, Chris does a hell of a lot of good work. If you're not subscribed to the channel, definitely subscribe and go and watch Chris's videos when he was in Korea, because they were fantastic. I really love sitting down in the evenings watching them. I love the Squid Games one. There's a couple of moments that Chris knows that I sent him a snapshot of him with his face in the as the main character in the show. I don't know why it made me laugh more than I perhaps should have done, but go and watch the videos. It's really good content, and Chris does a hell of a lot of good work for Tottenham, so go and subscribe if you don't already. But thanks for having me on, Chris, and I'll see you next time.
Well, can I just say, Craig, Richard and Ricky, thanks so much for continuing the show when my Wi-Fi cut out here. So apologies about that, but thanks so much for, continuing with the show. Really, really appreciate it, and really appreciate your time as well, and really appreciate all of everybody's support. The support in the last few weeks has been absolutely incredible, so thank you so much for that. And we have hit over 75,000 subscribers, so Ricky's video will be out very soon.
And then it'll go down to 50,000, but you know.
Exactly. But yeah, thanks so much for watching and listening, everyone. God, can't even speak now. And I will see you on the next one. And until then, come on, you Spurs.
Come on! Chris.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Football is back, and BetMGM is inviting new customers to join the huddle and enjoy the action like never before. Sign up today using bonus code CHAMPION, and your first wager is risk-free up to $1,000. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions. 21 years of age or older to wager. Virginia only. New customer offer. All promotions are subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Rewards issued as non-withdrawable free bets or site credit. Free bets expire 7 days from issuance. Please gamble responsibly. Gambling problem? Call 1-888-532-3500.
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximize your home ground advantage with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.